Hi, welcome to the Haunted Cafe. What can I get you?
Hi, I'd like a mysterious late cryptid with a side of Irish cream, if possible.
Coming right up. Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us at the Haunted Cafe. Grab a drink and a comfy chair, because we have a spooky tale to tell. But first, let's talk drinks. So today, Ellen has something a little bit different than you would normally find at a coffee or tea shop.
Well, it depends on where you're at. If it's like an urban location, you're probably gonna find it.
yeah, I guess
it's a watermelon Red Bull. So like in Rowan, the little college that's near us, I'm pretty sure you would find a Red Bull in a coffee shop.
Yeah, probably like at the Starbucks and the Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and then what I have today, which I'm not gonna drink it right away because it's still hot. I have a holiday chai stash tea, and the ingredients have blended black teas, cinnamon, allspice, clove, ginger root, natural gingerbread flavor, natural Jamaican rum flavor, and nutmeg oil. So it's just like a really like Christmassy, holiday-y tea.
I can smell it too. Yeah. It smells seasonal.
Yeah, it does. So, holiday chai. Definitely check it out. I'm probably going to try it like halfway through the episode.
You want to know something I learned recently about the word chai?
Sure.
It just means tea. So when it's chai tea, it's just TT.
TT. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, I know. I found that out. I was scrolling through like a random TikTok video, and it was like saying like talking about all the words that literally say the same thing twice to make it one single word, and chai tea was one of them, and it just means TT.
TT. Huh. That's weird.
Yeah.
So, first off, before we get started with the episode, I just want to say that we're recording on New Year's Eve. So, happy 2023 to everybody. Hope everybody has like a safe and good 2023.
Yeah.
Also Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone that celebrates, you know, whatever you celebrate. Hope you had a good one.
Yep.
So, yeah. do you have any like expectations for 2023, Alan? Like, you excited for anything?
I don't get my expectations up for nothing, so
yeah.
Whatever happens, happens. It is what it is, you know.
Yeah, I'm not claiming 2023, but I want to make a change in like.
Yeah, I mean, I want to try making some changes too. You know,
yeah. But, you know. So hopefully you'll see a change in the podcast because I think it's been a couple weeks since I've uploaded and stuff.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
So, yeah. Anyway, So, what we're going to be talking about today is Nessie, or the Loch Ness Monster.
The Loch Ness Monster!
I know this is a really old story, and like,
yeah, it is.
For the most part, I'm pretty sure everybody has heard about Nessie.
If you haven't, then welcome to the show.
Yeah. But, I really didn't know, like, all of the details, like, how it was discovered and how it became, like, a thing.
Yeah.
I just kind of knew, like, you know.
It's real. It's alive. It's a thing.
I don't know. we'll get into it, yeah. But I don't know anymore.
I believe it.
I want to believe.
get a shirt that's got like a cartoon version of Nessie that the bottom it says, I want to believe.
Oh, I'm sure that's something like that.
Oh, yeah,
out
that's
there.
Definitely a thing.
We should make our own shirts.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
It would.
But, yeah, so, like I said, I didn't really know like the history of Nessie or like how this creature was discovered. So that's basically what this episode is going to be about.
I somewhat knew about it, but like I'm sure there are things that I didn't know, but there's probably going to be a lot of things that I did know.
Yeah. Well, cuz you're like you're not from Ireland or Scotland or anything, but like you have that like it in your blood.
Yeah, it's in my genes. Well, and not only that,
you
like
you should get it out of your jeans pants pocket.
Huh?
Huh?
That was corny.
I know.
Anyway, but I've also been hearing about this story for a long time, like a very, very long time. And I want to say since I was like little, literally, I think I think the first time I heard about the story was when I was like 6 or 7. So I've known about it for a very long time. I just never really gotten into too much detail. I've seen like other people who have gotten into detail, like I've read like articles and stuff like that, and that's how I found out some things. That's how the only reason why I know some of the things I know, but rather than that, I don't really know too much about it besides what I've read, which could be true or not true, so.
Yeah. And I mean, the only knowledge that I knew about, like, the Loch Ness Monster was just, like, the pictures that have been shown, which we'll go through some of those.
Yeah.
And, like, just, you know, just, like, basic, very, very basic knowledge, so.
Yeah, very basic.
Yes, yeah, so this was actually kind of fun going through. So first, I feel like we need to talk about, like, the location of the Loch Ness. So, Loch Ness, which is located in the Scottish Highlands, has the largest volume of fresh water in Great Britain. The body of water reaches a depth of nearly 800 feet and is a length of about 23 miles. So, it's freaking huge.
Oh, wow.
And, like, Loch Ness is just Lake Ness, just so you know.
Yeah.
I, like, didn't know if that was, like... And it is the second largest Scottish loch by surface area after Loch Lomond. Mm-hmm. So it's actually not even the biggest lake that they have. It's like the second deepest. So
okay, then.
It's also the second deepest loch in Scotland after Loch Morar. I'm really bad at pronunciation, so Loch Ness has one small island, which is called Cherry Island. The Scottish Gaelic for that is Éilean Mhuireach, which is Murdoch's Island. I hope I said that right, but... that island is at the southwestern end of the loch. It's actually an artificial island, so it's not even... wasn't really there to begin with. Yeah, it's known as a crannog. C-R-A-N-N-O-G. Crannog, I think.
It could be Crannog.
Crannog, maybe.
I don't know.
And it was likely constructed during the Iron Age, which I think the Iron Age, isn't that when, like... I'm not sure. I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure when the Iron Age... I wouldn't go into any detail if you don't know too much about it, because then you're just going to sound like a dummy.
I'm going to sound like a dumbass. So. There was another natural island that was in the loch, but... it has since been, like, taken over by the water, so it's no longer... I mean, it's there, but it's underwater, so... the loch is one of a series of interconnected murky bodies of water in Scotland. Its water visibility is exceptionally low due to high peat content in the surrounding soil, which high peat is, like, grass and
it's the stuff that turns the lakes, like, brownish green and stuff like that.
Yeah. Which could be the reason why they can't see this creature.
Yeah.
There are a few villages and places that surround the lake. I'm gonna try not to butcher their names. But,
if there's anyone in Ireland listening right now, you're gonna piss them off so bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I do apologize for being an uncultured swine.
Yeah, basically. So, the few villages that they include Loch End, Aberton. that sounds like Asian, like the, you know.
Yeah. Aberchan.
Aberchan.
It could be Aberchan.
Maybe.
Aberchan. Maybe. I don't know.
There's Drumnockruckick. There's also Urquhart Castle, which for some reason that name sounds familiar. I feel like that's like a haunted location, but I could be really wrong on that one.
It almost sounds like Earhart Castle.
Yeah. Well, not to bring it up, but Morbid, I think her last... No. I think her last name is Urquhart, but I could be wrong. Okay. So maybe that's what I was thinking of. Maybe. But
I have no idea.
Anyway, so there's also Fort Augustus, Whitebridge, Foyers, and Invermoriston. There's other places, but, you know, there's so many... There's, like, a lot of cities around the lake, so it's not, you know, it's not really like a desolate area, if that makes sense.
Desolate,
yeah. I can't talk. So now that we know a little bit about the lake and the surrounding areas, let's talk about the first mention of the monster in this lake. According to the website history.com, the first account of Nessie comes from a bibliography, I think that's how you say that.
Yeah,
of St. Columba, who was an Irish missionary who was trying to introduce Christianity to Scotland.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, in 565 AD, St. Columba. I feel like I'm saying that wrong, but it's not.
It just sounds like a weird name.
Yeah, it's
sounds like made up.
It's C-O-L-U-M-B-A, so it's Columba.
Yeah, it's Columba.
Yeah, it just sounds weird. He was on his way to visit the king of northern Picts near Iveris, when he stopped at Loch Ness to confront this beast that had been killing people in the lake. Seeing a large beast about to attack another man, St. Columba intervened, invoking the name of God and commanding the creature to go back with all speed. Wow. Supposedly, the monster retreated and never harmed another man.
You know what it was? Huh. Like, that thing was just like, this religious crap again, I'm out. This is like the third time, I'm gone.
And you're like, quit yelling at me. if that's true, like, if this story was true, would that make Nessie some sort of demon?
Technically, yeah. Yeah, supposedly,
like,
it would.
If the creature just ran away because he was praying, you know, like,
he's talking about God!
Yeah, that's like the only... That's the only type of creature that I can think of that's going to run away from, you know, that. I don't know if I personally believe that story.
I think that's BS.
Yeah.
I think it's some sort of religious person just trying to get some sort of credit for something he never did.
I do believe that there was maybe a creature in the lake. Maybe he visited the lake so he could try to help. But I don't think everything went down that way that's told in his bibliography. Because, like, I felt like back then they took a lot of liberties. Like, you know, I don't want to use Beowulf as an example, but it's like, you know, they kind of, it's their tales, you know?
Yeah, they are.
So, they were, like, kind of like lies that were told to make him seem so much more great. Like, it doesn't even have to be that he was, like, a horrible person, but it was just, like, an exaggeration, I guess, is what I'm trying to say more than anything.
Exactly.
I'm probably wrong, but it's just, like, an opinion, you know? Yeah. The next sighting we're going to talk about is from D. McKenzie. I'm not sure who he is, but in October 1871 or 72, D. McKenzie of Ballinane reportedly saw an object resembling a log or an upturned boat wriggling and churning up the water, moving slowly at first before disappearing at high speed. Huh. This man did not tell anyone until about 1933, so 61 years later, when Nessie started becoming popular again.
Oh, yeah, he just so happens to tell the story he starts becoming popular?
Yeah. Wow. Sorry, guys, I'm still getting over a cold.
We both are.
Yeah, my next thing was actually to ask your opinion about that.
I think that's just him, like, trying to cash in on something. It's almost like did we go over Mothman? Did we go over Mothman?
No, we didn't go over
Mothman. Was Sasquatch? Where, like, when Sasquatch Bigfoot. Started? Yeah, when Bigfoot started becoming popular, all of a sudden there was a bunch of freaking gift shops and stuff like that.
Well, gift shops, and then, like, people were saying, "Oh, I saw him, like, years ago."
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not that it couldn't. It's possible that it's a true story.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they just didn't bring it up because it was like, oh, I just saw something in the water.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't really know what it is. But then once you start hearing of all this other people seeing it, it could be that. But
I mean, honestly, if anybody has ever seen the show Key and Peele, they do a skit about this.
Oh.
Like, not about Loch Ness, but, like, just about how stuff spreads so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There's this news reporter that's in, like, a town. And the camera guy was like, "What are we doing here? Nothing good ever happens at this place. There's never any good stories." And the news reporter said something along the lines like, "There's always a good story. You just got to know where to look." And it's like, he just came up with, like, this random beast. He came up to, like, a crowd of people, and he started talking about it. He was like, "Have you heard about the sightings of so-and-so and so-and-so?" And then the guy, like, on the spot, because he was on camera, and he was like, "Is this live?" And he was like, "Yeah, we're live." He's like, "Oh, yeah, I saw it. Blah, 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 blah. And, like, in the background, there was a car that had, like, a back window missing. He's like, "Yeah, that SOB threw a rock through my window. The state's got to pay for that."
Yeah, like, coming up with stuff.
That's exactly what's
going
on.
It happens all the time.
It does. Like, it happens so freaking much. It's unreal.
It could be anything. It could be big. I almost said Big Lots.
Oh,
what the hell? It could be Bigfoot, it could be, like, you know, Nessie, like, every, aliens, too, like, once one person says something, and it's not that, like, everyone that has a story to tell is wrong, or is,
it's just
that a lot of the times,
it seems to only pop up when it's becoming popular.
Well, no, I was just gonna say that a lot of the times, there are people that are just looking for, like, a quick cash, or a quick spotlight. Mm-hmm. Like, that happens a lot with, like, true crime stuff, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially back in the olden days.
Yeah.
They would send letters to, like, the newspapers, and it's not even the person that did the crime.
No, it's just people wanting a spotlight.
Yeah, that's
reason.
It. And it's nuts.
Yeah, there was even a part in that clip where there was, like, a massive hole in the roof with, like, a tarp over it. He's like, yeah, that thing just crashed right through my roof. Y'all saw that, right? And there was, like, 15 people being like, yeah, we saw it. And, like, literally, they started creating, like, t-shirts with what they thought the beast would look like.
Gosh.
They started selling them. They started protesting against them. There was one guy who was like, we need to hunt down that beast or whatever. It's like, it's just like that. It's propaganda.
Yeah,
like,
I feel like we could do that.
Oh, yeah. We, like, if we go to a heavily crowded...
create some kind of monster or something like
probably.
That. Probably. Just like...
it'd be the next, like, viral TikTok sensation. Just creating random monsters to see how many people you can get to believe you.
Maybe we'll try that.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people listen to this podcast
yet.
No.
So it's not like we have to keep the promise, you know?
But with this guy's story, like, Dee McKenzie, it could be a true story. He could have seen something and just didn't realize what it was until, like...
And just assumed it was that because it was being talked about.
Yeah, and, like, all these other accounts are kind of similar to what I saw, so maybe I did see this creature.
Yeah.
You know, and that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you never know.
Yeah, it's almost like the gray men, like the aliens, like you were saying, the gray men, the green men, like, it's all the same. Like, this UFO looked a certain way, that UFO looked a certain way, and there's other people that seen that UFO because they seen something similar to it. It's like a a snowball effect? I think that's what they call it.
So.
Like, the snowball
where
just,
like,
keeps rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
And
it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. People.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard when... You know, you're trying to figure out actual, like, pure evidence.
Yeah.
Because
you'll have all these people popping up being like, oh, yeah, guess what, you know.
And then you don't know whether to take it fact or, you know, because
exactly.
You don't want to tell someone that might have legitimately seen something. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Because,
more people believe rumors than they do the truth. Like, that's all it comes down to. Like, more people will believe something completely outlandish more than they will believe something that is completely true.
Yeah.
So...
So, the next one that we're going to talk about is, in 1888, Mason Alexander MacDonald of Aberchan.
Jesus.
And I'm not sure if his name is Mason, or if he was, like, a Mason.
Yeah, he was a Mason.
He sighted a large, stubby-legged animal surfacing from the loch and propelling itself within 50 yards of the shore where MacDonald stood.
Huh.
He did report his sightings to Loch Ness water bailiff Alexander Campbell, and he described the creature as looking like a salamander, almost. And just in case you don't know what a water bailiff is, it's basically like a law enforcement officer that's responsible for policing bodies of water.
Oh, yeah, like a prison bailiff.
Like Coast Guard, almost.
Yeah, yeah, I said prison bailiff, but...
Well, I mean, technically, yeah, because he would be, like, someone that watches the prison.
Yeah, exactly,
so.
Yeah.
But, it basically, like, you know, he just keeps an eye on it.
Yeah. What was this dude's name? Not the bailiff, but the other guy, something MacDonald.
Why are you gonna make me repeat it again? Mason Alexander MacDonald.
He was a farmer?
I'm not sure what he was.
Oh.
He was just out there... I guess just, like, looking around.
I was gonna say cause if because I couldn't remember if you had mentioned if he was a farmer. I was gonna be like, oh, MacDonald had a farm. EI. Holy shit, it's Loch Ness.
Yeah, I don't know what he did actually. So he reported it to the water bailiff, and you know, I don't think really too much happened past that.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point in time, Mason is the only one who had supposedly, like, fully seen Nessie, besides St. Columba, if that's a true story. And then we jump to probably what's considered one of the more famous sightings of Nessie.
I do have, before you continue, I do have one question, though. The guy that was getting attacked by Nessie that Columba supposedly saved, where's his story in all this? Oh, that's like, where's
his story? He doesn't get a bibliography because he's not a saint.
Yeah, well, I mean, still, like he got attacked. Like, that would be your proof. Or maybe he died. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But he said he was attacking, not killing. You know what I mean? So
I don't know.
That does seem kind of corny, honestly. Well,
I feel like a lot of the times these bibliographies or whatever are written either after the fact when the person isn't around anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, people just kind of, like, make up stories.
Mm-hmm. To make themselves seem good.
Like King Arthur and the Excalibur and, you know, like, some of those stories are probably, like, exaggerated a little bit, you know?
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're still good stories, but, you know.
Yeah, like the Wizard Merlin.
Yeah. Like, well, there was magic back then.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So now we're going to go...
You never know. There might have been.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to go off topic, but I feel like back then people believed in a lot more shit.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it was possible.
Could have been. I mean, dragons probably were alive, too. If you really think about it, there's a massive possibility. Dragons were just
dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah. They were mutated after the meteor hit and the radiation spread.
I mean,
they could have been.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, look at us. Anyway, so now we're going to jump to April of 1933. So this is when Nessie was like...
Sorry.
So this is when Nessie became like really popular. I guess at this time, a new road was put in that kind of went around the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave people who were driving on it a better view of the water.
What year was this?
1933.
Did they have cars back then?
Supposedly, yeah.
Oh, you know, yeah, because the 40s would have been next.
So. Yeah, I'm going to pause and just look. So we had a big, big blonde moment right there. Cars were actually invented in 1866, so...
Yeah, and I literally just said, like, right before we paused, I was like, there was the 1940s, and they had cars then, so I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why we had such a, like,
I have no freaking clue.
Small brain movement, but we were just like, yeah, cars weren't invented then.
Nah, there's no way they existed.
I don't know why they put a road there, but they did.
The plane wasn't invented in 19 fucking whatever either.
Planes were invented in 1990s.
Yeah. Didn't they just come out with the planes in like 2010?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know why, but we were being dumb. But yeah, so they put in a new road that went around the lock, and it gave people like a better view of the lake. One day, a husband and his wife were driving around out on this new road when they spotted a large creature that was out in the water, and it was, like, rolling and splashing around. They described it like a whale-like fish, so, like, a whale, basically. Yeah. Yeah. They told Alex Campbell, who was the water bailiff, and
Alex
now...
Alex Campbell, honestly, that name just sounds familiar from something else. I don't know why.
What's the guy's name from Evil Dead? Isn't that Campbell's?
No, that's Bruce Campbell. But like, no, I like Alex Campbell in general just sounds familiar for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they told the water bailiff and now part-time journalist about this, and he wrote an article about the creature. So the article was published on May 2nd in 1933 in the Everness. I feel like I'm saying that wrong.
How do you spell it?
C-O-U-R-I-E-R. Corridor? No.
No, that's
it's a newspaper.
Courier?
That's probably how you say it. Fucking stupid.
I have no freaking clue.
This article was the first time the term monster was used to describe the creature.
Oh, wow.
Here's an excerpt of that article. Said the creature disported itself, rolling and plunging for fully a minute, its body resembling that of a whale, and the water cascading and churning like a simmering cauldron. Soon, however, it disappeared in a boiling mass of foam. Both onlookers confessed that there was something uncanny about the whole thing, for they realized that here was no ordinary denizen of depths, because Apart from its enormous size, the beast, in taking the final plunge, sent out waves that were big enough to have been caused by a passing steamer.
Huh.
So they're basically saying this creature was huge.
Yeah, it was massive.
Yeah. Hmm. And it was, you know, it was almost like a whale, which I don't know if, like, whales were a thing on that lake. I don't think so, just because it's a lake, not, like, an ocean.
Isn't there a place in Ireland called Wales?
Yeah, Alan, there is.
I don't know. That was my ADHD talking.
Was it? Is it Ireland? Or is it England that has Wales?
It could be Scotland.
It could be any of them. I don't know. Yeah.
There's a place called Wales nearby, that area.
Yeah, it's nearby. So, do we think that this article is kind of, like, legit or no? Like,
I don't know. It seems like with them, like, notice, like, whenever they add a crap ton of detail to something, like, we've talked about this before, whenever you add a massive amount of detail to something and you're, like, comparing it to something of equal size, most of the time you're trying to make somebody believe what you're saying because you're
giving too much detail.
You're giving detail that someone can imagine. Not something that's unbelievable. Like, someone can imagine a steamer coming by and causing a wave.
They were just saying, I mean? Like, that's how big the waves were.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's like a...
I guess that's a detail that
a detail that you can over-exaggerate because it's believable. You know what I mean? Because, like, steamers, a steamer could cause that wave and, like...
So could a whale, honestly.
Yeah, so could a whale, but it's a lake. You know, there's not going to be any whales in it.
I mean, it's a pretty big lake, so...
I mean, yeah, but
I don't know. Why not?
I don't know if it's believable or not, just because there's way too much detail in it. Like, it's too descriptive.
Like, for as quick as it supposedly happened, this husband and wife had, like, a lot of detail.
Oh yeah, they had a lot of attention to detail for as quick as it happened.
Well, I don't know though, because you always sit there and say, like, oh, I remember this, and this, and I'm like, I didn't even know. Her shirt was yellow whatever.
That's more or less just my ADHD, like, focusing on everything all at once. Maybe they did have it. Who knows? I mean, it wasn't diagnosed back in the day, so maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, so this kind of, like, set off the fascination of Nessie. Like, you know that road was, like, backed up for miles now. People trying to see it. I want to believe the story, but I don't know.
All you hear on that road is the chugga chugga chugga.
Meep meep. Yeah, like, everybody trying to drive past.
Yep.
So now we're going to jump to the 1980s. So that story occurred in the 30s.
That's a big time gap.
Yeah. A naturalist interviewed Adeline McKay, which is the wife, and she admitted to knowing that there had been an oral tradition of a beast in the lock well before her claimed sighting. So she knew that there was supposedly something out there.
So she knew about it. Now, so all of a sudden, she's got something to say about it.
Well, it's kind of like pointing to the fact that maybe she knew it was there. So she told her husband about it. And then they happened to come up with a story.
It's almost like if somebody had brought up, like, yeah, I've seen aliens. And then I'm like, hey, did you know that I've seen aliens?
Yeah. Like, well, it's kind of like. But, like Bloody Mary or whatever, if you go into the mirror, like, that that's a story, so...
Yeah, exactly.
They could have seen something, like, let's just say a whale, and then they didn't realize that there were whales in the lake. So then they're like, oh, well, there was this creature that was supposedly here, so maybe that's what it was, not even a whale at all. Yeah. Like, you know...
Could have been a catfish, too, and was just over-exaggerated with a whale, because I'd never seen a catfish that big before, because catfish can get huge.
But this is, like, a huge lake, though. Like, huge lake.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but catfish... Well, see, that's the thing. Like koi fish, they can get massive. They can get absolutely... like, humongous. So can goldfish now if they're in a big enough area. Yeah. Like, and depending on how big a lake is, depending on what kind of fish it is, a fish's size will adapt to the size of that lake. So if they can get bigger, they will. And I know catfish, they could be some pretty friggin' big fish. Like, there's been people who have caught, like, 4-foot-long catfish and stuff like that. Like, it could have been something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been any fish, just, like, doubled the size, you know? You know, my thing was she admitted to knowing that there was supposedly a beast out there before they went out there.
Yeah. Exactly.
So was it just they made something up, or did they see something and then, like, they thought it was it? Or did they see something and really actually legitimately thought it was the creature, you know?
I mean, just like that. I'm sure you're going to get to it later on, but like that photographer that took a picture of something that was in the lake and he called it Nessie when it was just a part of a tree. It was driftwood.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. it's around the same premise, you know?
Yeah. See, now we're jumping back a bit. Like, we're going back to 1933 when the whole craze happened. Okay. I just wanted to say that the wife kind of, like, in the 80s, she kind of almost admits to knowing about it before. Yeah. Not saying that she was, you know, she made something up, but just, you know.
Yeah.
So, in July of 1933, the same year as the wife and the husband found it, George Spicer and his wife saw a most extraordinary form of an animal crossing the road in front of their car. So now it's not even in the water, it's on the road.
On land.
Yeah. So this creature had a long body, but it was only about 4 feet tall, which is still pretty big. Like,
yeah.
I'm 5 foot something, so it's just a little bit shorter than me.
Yeah.
And it was 25 feet long. It had a long, wavy, narrow neck, which was slightly thicker than an elephant trunk. And it was as long as 10 or 12 feet.
That's too descriptive.
Yeah.
Like, how did you have a chance to literally accurately measure out the neck? Like, did you stop it and be like, hey, hold on real quick?
Well, I was going to say, did you, like, go measure an elephant's trunk and then been like, yeah, it's about the same.
Yeah. Like, did you see an elephant up close and be like, hey, that, you know what? That looks like the neck that we seen that one day. Maybe we'll add it as a friggin' description.
Like, yeah. And it said no limbs. So, like, was it a snake or, like, a snail type of creature?
Yeah.
And it said it lurched across the road toward the lock, 20 yards or 20 meters away, leaving a trail of broken undergrowth in its wake. So it basically, like, slithered across, like, a snail or snake or something like that.
Yeah.
George compared it to a dragon or a dinosaur. Like, I guess kind of like the scaliness of it, maybe.
Jeez. Do you know what they exactly look like? Like, dude.
Yeah, right?
Come on now.
I mean, I don't know. Like, everybody's kind of describing the same thing, but not at the same time.
Well, the only reason why they're describing the same thing is because they heard similar, like,
yeah,
you know, explanations of what it would look like. It's almost like the whole Jersey Devil thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people were saying, hey, yeah, I seen it with this because some other guy said they had seen it with this, and that was believable, you know?
Well, it's also a lot of, like, once again, like, true crime cases, like how police figure out that they have the actual killer is that they don't release certain things to the public.
Yeah.
Like, stuff that only the killer would know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, I mean, it's kind of impossible to do this with Nessie, but if the publishers didn't publish anything and stories still kept bouncing around, but they didn't, you know, like, one person didn't hear the other person's story, but they still matched, then that's more credible than just, like, I read it in the newspaper.
Yeah, it's like, there's a few quotes that, there's a few things that I'm going to say. Like, the first one is a quote from a guy called Easy Mac. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. And one of the quotes is, nobody ever cares about what the junkie saw. Because, you know, the junkie would be the one that would be, like, the one that would be telling the truth. Like, I can see this. Like, he'd be the one freaking out about it, not, like, a normal person. Like, like, everyone believes the normal person, but not the guy who is probably right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this is not relatable, not related to, like, Loch Ness or whatever, but for anyone who's listening, I've seen this thing with lawyers that if you ever get arrested for any kind of crime and they offer you a drink, don't take the drink, because when you go to sip on it, your DNA's on the cup. Anyway.
That's the whole point of that.
Yeah, I know. Like, they want you to drink it because they want your DNA. So they can, It's related, but it's not.
It's not related.
it is with the whole, like, oh, like, I caught you for this kind of thing, because it's like, you're like the description and blah, 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 blah.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Excuse me. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of related, but not necessarily.
Yeah. It's not necessary either, but.
Yeah. Supposedly, this creature that was walking across the road had, like, an animal in its mouth, and it moved really quickly. Like, it wasn't in like a snail in terms of it moving slow. Like, it went pretty fast. I wonder what kind of creature was in it.
Did they see it at night or during the day?
It doesn't say.
Of course not.
So So on August 4th of 1933, the Courier published a report of Spicer's sightings. Obviously, this sparked more interest in Nessie and the alleged sightings. At this point, the name the Loch Ness Monster became a thing. So now we're going to talk about, like, the photos of Nessie. And it's not the famous one where she's, like, sticking her head out of the water. This one is actually really blurry and supposedly depicts her body. I'm calling it a her just because, like, Nessie.
Well, it's Nessie. You
know. So I'm going to flip my computer around so Alan can see. And if you're on YouTube now, you should be able to see this picture. That's supposedly the picture of her body.
That just looks like a wave of some kind, or like a rock that was exposed, or a piece of driftwood. It doesn't look like anything.
Yeah, it like, doesn't it really look doesn't. Like much.
So, it doesn't look like anything at all. Like maybe the tail on the left side, but like still, there's like barely any definition.
Yeah, like it kind of looks like a serpent type of creature.
Yeah,
but maybe it's like a water snake or something like that.
Yeah, it could
like
be.
You know. So this photo, I think it's this photo, was taken by a man named Hugh Gray when he was out with his dog on November 12th, 1933. So still the same year.
Yeah.
Some people claim to be able to see a dog's head sticking up in the picture and believe that it is his dog, like, fetching a stick or something out in the water, which I kind of hope not, because the dog, it was, like, November, so that water is probably freaking freezing.
Yeah, that would be mean.
Yeah, like, especially if he forced the dog out there to, yeah. like, capture this picture.
That'd be kind of effed.
Yeah, but, like, I'm looking at it, and I don't really see a dog's head or anything like that. It honestly, like I said, just kind of looks like a stick or something.
Yeah, let me see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have to be able to see it too, you know.
Yeah.
I can't just have everyone else see it and not me. Oh, it's the same photo.
Yeah, it's the same photo.
Oh, I don't even see a dog.
Yeah, supposedly there's like a dog's head somewhere in there, but I don't see anything like that. It's too blurry.
I see the ISR on in the middle.
Oh, my goodness.
See, I can come up with details, too.
Yeah. But anyway, some people think that this could be an otter or maybe a swan. Unfortunately, the original negative was lost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just so happens, hey, it got lost.
Yeah. But somehow, in 1963, Maurice Burton came into possession of two lantern slides, positives from the original negative. So I don't know how the pictures work, but I guess there's a positive and a negative, and he has the positives of it.
Huh.
And when they're projected onto a screen, they actually reveal an otter rolling at the surface in characteristic fashion, which is like, you know, yeah. otters just rolling yeah. around and yeah. swimming. So that could be, you know.
Honestly, I can see answer. It more or less being an otter just because yeah. of the tail. It looks like yeah. an otter tail.
Like, flipping around. And yeah,
and if it looks like a dog head, I mean, otters are just sea puppies.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's close to, you know.
Well, I mean, seals are sea puppies, but otters are also sea puppies. It's like.
They're the same thing. It's like a different breed of a dog.
Otters are the miniature Yorkies of the sea, and the seals are the labs of the sea.
But yeah, so like, it's possible. Supposedly, they see otters on the positives, but. I guess, honestly, without the negative, we might not necessarily know. And that's gone. So,
yeah.
On January 5th of 1934, so a year later, a motorcyclist named Arthur Grant claimed to have nearly hit a creature while approaching Aberchan, which is near the northeastern end of the loch, at about 1 a.m. on a moonlit night. And my thing is, what are you doing on a bike at 1 a.m. in January? Like, aren't you cold? Is anyone cold? But
does weather exist during this time period?
Yeah, I mean, like, unless you're coming home from bars or something like that. Like, yeah, I don't maybe. Know the surrounding areas, yeah, so.
I don't know.
That's the only thing. Or work or something like that. Yeah. But according to Grant, it had a small head attached to a long neck. And the creature saw him and crossed the road back into the loch. Grant who is a veterinary student, described it as a cross between a seal and a pelosaur. He got off his bike and followed it to the lock, but he only saw ripples.
Yeah.
So, and he drew a picture, which is adorable, and you'll see it now.
What the heck? It's so stubby.
He's adorable.
It's a stubby little thing.
Yeah. And...
That could have been an otter with a snake in its mouth.
Yeah, honestly. Or just an otter.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know about the elongated head part, but...
I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe since it's nighttime and it's, like, moonlit, 1 a.m., yeah, yeah. Maybe he just, like, didn't see it clearly.
He had a stick in his mouth.
Maybe. Something. People also try to debunk this by saying that Grant couldn't really know what he was seeing because of the poor light conditions, obviously, around that. And what he drew, obviously, largely resembles an otter.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He also he didn't describe how big it was, though, did he?
I don't think so. He just kind of said, like, what it looked like.
Because that could have just been him.
Yeah. It could have just been him, like... seeing an otter and just it freaked him out and
oh then, it was Nessie
yeah and then of course like you know
yeah
I put as like a side comment I was like so is Nessie like a sea monster otter
it could
like
be.
A huge one and I was
it's,
like
it's a mutated otter
yeah and I'm like that just made Nessie like 100 times cuter for me like I already think Nessie's adorable
it's
like
a
the pictures
otter.
And stuff yeah. But like that made it better. Yeah.
Actually, I don't think otters go in the sea. They don't go in the sea. They go in rivers and lakes.
Which is what this is. It's Loch Ness. Yeah. So
okay, so seals are dogs of the seas, and otters are dogs of rivers. There we go.
Maybe
I sound less stupid now.
So now we're gonna talk about like probably what I consider the most famous photo, and it's called the Surgeon's Photograph. It's reportedly the first photo of the creature's head and neck. It's probably the one top one that everyone thinks of when they think of Nessie. Yeah. It's just like so prevalent. So I shall show Alan now.
The driftwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, the driftwood.
Okay. So.
And if you think about it, actually, if you really analyze that photo, those ripples, those waves are freaking huge. Look how small that thing is
We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
But yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. So the water does not equal how big that thing is supposed to be. I'll tell you that much right now.
Mm-hmm. So this photo was published in Daily Mail on the 21st of April in 1934. And at the time of it being published, the man who supposedly took the photo didn't want to be identified.
No, I wonder why.
So it became known as the Surgeon's Photograph. The reason why it was known as that, because sometime later on, a man named Robert Kenneth Wilson, a London gynecologist, came out as the photographer.
No.
Yeah, a gynecologist is a woman's doctor, just so you know.
Yeah.
According to Wilson, that was not, like, any kind of pertinent information, it was just information for you. So according to Wilson, he was looking at the lock when he saw the monster. So he grabbed his camera and snapped four photos. Only two exposures came out clearly. The first one reportedly shows a small head and back, and the second photo shows a similar head in, like, a diving position. Mm. The first photo is the one that became, like, well-known because it's so clear.
Yeah.
And the second one attracted a little less publicity because of its blurriness. For over 60 years, this photo was considered a legit piece of evidence.
Oh my God.
But this didn't obviously come without extreme scrutiny.
Oh yeah.
Skeptics believed that this was just a photo of a piece of driftwood or an otter, which, I mean, if you think about it, depending on the angle, the shadow could cast, like, a long neck.
Yeah.
If an otter's just, like, poking its head out.
Well, like, I don't know. I don't know about all that. If anything, it would probably just be, like, an arm. Like, he got his arm up like that.
Maybe.
You know,
he was doing, like, the backstroke.
Yeah, he was doing one of those, like, he was, like, he was itching his side underwater, and he had his one arm up because he was trying to keep himself up, you know?
Yeah. So it could have been an otter. Also, the fact that the photo was cropped which brought the creature in closer, made it bigger, and it also kind of makes the ripples look like huge waves.
Yeah.
It's all just, like, a matter of perspective. Like, this could have been a really tiny creature. Like, it even could have been, like, I don't know.
It could have been a snake.
A snake, yeah, I was going to say, like, a snake or something. But
hell, it could have even been a turtle. Like, yeah. I mean,
yeah, turtles got turtles really long all necks.
The
time.
Yeah, and their freaking necks are long as hell. Like, over at the park that we go to, the
Cape May Park,
Cape May, on a Washington Lake, oh, yeah. Washington, whatever. Like in the little pond that they have all the way in the back, like towards the middle, like there was a bunch of turtles that were like up on like logs, just with their friggin' necks like 5-6 friggin' inches out of their shell, sunbathing.
I mean, it's not like huge, obviously. No, it's not like feet, but like if he saw that picture and like cropped it in, it could make it look bigger.
Because like if you look at the photo. The ripples from the creature are really small, which make no sense if it's a large creature. It'll be large ripples. But the waves around it are friggin' massive, which doesn't make any sense if it's just small ripples.
Yeah.
Like, the waters just don't match. Like, that's literally something sticking out of the water.
And those waves like are just the natural.
Waves are just, like, the natural, you know, movement of the lake. It's not, like, they're not friggin', they're huge compared to that thing.
Yeah. Excuse me. So, the uncropped photo actually, it shows, like, the whole lock, with a really tiny monster in the center. So who knows why it was cropped. Maybe it was just so you could see the creature, or to make it look larger.
They just didn't think about it. Didn't think it all the way through. That's all it came down to.
But there is something else that's weird in the photo. So in 1993, the makers of the Discovery Communications documentary...
A year after I was born.
Yeah. The Loch Ness Discovered analyzed the uncropped image and found a white object visible in every version of the photo, implying that it was on the negative, and it was believed to be the cause of the ripples, as if an object was being towed, although the possibility of a blemish on the negative could not be ruled out. So basically, somewhere on the image, and I'll try and find it for the YouTube video, there's something white somewhere on it that could be causing really huge, like, ripples of waves. Or it's just, like, something happened to get on the negative somehow.
Yeah.
So, an analyst of the full photograph indicated that the object was small, about 2 to 3 feet long. So meaning that this was a tiny creature.
Yeah.
After that, it became known as a hoax photo. Further evidence would follow to show that it actually was a fake photo.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So details of how the photo was taken were published in the 1999 book, Nessie, The Surgeon's Photograph Exposed. The book basically explains about how it was faked. There's a whole story behind the making of this photo, but to just sum it up, there was a man that tried to create a hoax surrounding Nessie already, setting up, like, fake footprints and stuff.
Like they were doing with Sasquatch.
But doesn't make any sense, because all the reports doesn't say he has legs.
Yeah, exactly.
So why are you adding footprints?
There's no limbs. Why would you do that?
he was butthurt that the newspaper was calling his bluff, so he decided to create, like, a bigger hoax. Oh, wow. He and another guy bought a toy submarine and added a wood putty head to it, creating this creature.
Wow.
They put it out on the Ness, and somehow the surgeon got his hands on the photo and sent it to the newspaper saying he took them, and then boom, the photo was public. So I don't know if the surgeon knew that the photo was fake.
Probably.
Or if he did it
there was,
like,
probably like some sort of money involved.
Yeah. After the photo was deemed fake, there were other people who tried to capture Nessie. And they took photos or video, but one way or another, they were deemed fake. So, like, you know, people come out of the woodwork and try and do basically the same thing. So in 2007, jumping ahead a bit, a man named Gordon Holmes videotaped what he said was a jet black thing about 14 meters or 46 feet long, moving fairly fast in the water. But once again, it was determined that it could have been an otter, a seal, or a water bird. And just to put in that, I just wanted to kind of put that into perspective by comparing it to something else. Because 46 feet is long, but it's like, you know. So, Shaq is 7 feet tall. And basically, this object is 6.5 feet, or 6.5 Shaqs long. So this thing's huge be like an otter or something that. And they're still calling it an otter or a seal. I mean, a seal could maybe be that big.
No, there's no seals like that.
It's like huge.
Like they're that's the reason why killer whales eat
unless
sails.
It's a few of them.
I mean, it could like honestly, a group. It could be a school of fish.
Yeah. Like a group of seals or a group of otters or a group of fish, like. But that's why I kind of wanted to like compare it to something, because it's like, that seems like too big to just be like one seal or one otter or one something.
And to be honestly to be that big and then be in it's a big lake, but it's not big enough to support something like that.
Yeah,
you know.
And I was like, if it is an otter, that's that. Freaking big, we need to be out there studying those otters. Yeah. Like, because, like, why are there that big of otters? Like, damn. So,
what is this? Goosebumps?
Right? So, Adrian Shine, a marine biologist, actually studied the footage, and he's the one who said it might have been an otter. They're still saying that the video is fake or staged, and they're just claiming it to be something else, which. That just because it could be something else doesn't necessarily mean that the person was trying to stage it.
Yeah.
Like, he could have just been like, man, this looks like a weird thing. Like, let me videotape this.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that everyone's out there to, like, fake evidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Unless you're unless you're looking for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Then everyone out there is there to fake evidence.
Uh-huh. On August 24th of 2011... Loch Ness boat captain Marcus Atkinson photographed a sonar image of a 4.9-foot unidentified object that seemed to follow his boat for 2 minutes at the depth of 75 feet. So, like, a big thing was following him.
Yeah, but how could you see it if the water isn't even...
It's a sonar image, so it's basically...
Hot... Yeah.
Thermal.
Yeah, it's almost
thing.
Like that. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So, but in April of 2012, a scientist from the National Oceanographic Center said that the image is a bloom of algae and zooplankton. So basically, plankton was following the boat around.
Yeah, he was looking for the Krabby Patty recipe.
Yeah,
he thought that boat had it. Mr. Krabs was like, "It's on the boat." And Plankton was like, "Don't you dare mess with me, Mr. Krabs."
Which is, like, kind of cool that, like, creatures like that were just following the boat.
Yeah.
Maybe they were just, like, interested.
They were probably in the same path of the boat, and the guy thought he was being followed when they were
It was just being, like, drug with the boat.
Maybe. I don't
kind
know.
Of thing. You know? Either way, it's, like, interesting.
Yeah.
In 2011, another man surfaced with a photo he took of Nessie that showed a hump and some kinds... Oh, a hump of some kind sticking out of the water. That was quickly shut down because earlier in the year, he had participated in a TV show about Nessie, and they used, like, fiberglass humps in the show to portray Nessie. So, basically, he came out later and said that it was fake.
You guys are trying too hard.
Like, basically, it was like what do they call it? Silhouettes
silhouette. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it's like, why do that? Because... You already were on a show where they showed you basically how to fake it. Why are you going to try that again? You know?
Not only that, like, why would you try it, period? Like, you know eventually you're going to get caught. Like, no one's going to believe you for long. You know how many conspiracy theorists there are out there?
And at that point, you're not really doing good on your reputation.
No, you're not.
Especially if you want to come out as, like, a Nessie searcher or whatever. Like, no one's going to give any of your stuff credit.
Nope.
So... Anyway, at this point, can we even say that a Loch Ness Monster exists?
No, I mean, I'm sure it does, just not the way everyone thinks it does.
I was going to say, I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but most, if not all, of the reports are fake.
Yeah.
So, like, is there any kind of
Like I said, there's probably a Loch Ness, but it's nowhere near as big as they're saying
it is. Well, no, there's a Loch Ness, and it
I meant, like, the monster.
Oh,
like,
well, yeah. Like you said Loch Ness, and that's the Lake Ness, I was going to say that's real.
No, like there's the, I don't think it's like, honestly, that whole school of plankton, like really gives an. It could have been a school of plankton along with a school of fish. Like yeah, those it fish could have been like eating any, the plankton. Yeah. Like it could have been any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, especially seaweed. Like, you know how much friggin' how many clumps of seaweed that are in the friggin' lake near us yeah. that we could. We
now
could,
I don't know if that shows up on sonar or not.
Well, they the old algae. I mean,
yeah.
Technically, that's what it is. At the bottom, it's well, yeah, it's more or less just algae, not seaweed, because there's no seaweed in a lake. But
yeah, I don't know but, at this point. Yeah,
but like you know how much like algae we can literally just like put on ourselves and make us. I can make myself look like the swamp monster if I wanted to. Like you know how easy it yeah. is to do that, especially if you have like a group of fish that are at the bottom where the algae is, and then all of a sudden the boat comes by and they all rush up trying to run away, yeah. and then like boom, there you go, you have like all of this because you scared the crap out of them and you think it's a monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they think you're the monster.
Yeah, and like, especially since I don't know how well this lake has been actually like searched. Yeah. Nessie or not, like just like
I think it's been pretty thoroughly searched and nobody's but I mean just
like researched
anything.
Like yeah. research of the animals and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't know how well it was searched back then.
Yeah, back so then like, probably not, but more and more yeah. not more recent, but like from the 90s on,
yeah,
there's
I'm
been
sure
a heck of a lot of research to see if this thing was actually real or not. There's mm-hmm. there's a whole documentary
but I
about
just,
it.
I don't even mean like Nessie, like the Loch Ness monster. I just mean like. Has anyone gone out there and, like, looked at the different algae that's out yeah, there or yeah. looked at the different fish or anything? Like, I'm sure there is, but I just don't know how, like...
Yeah, how detailed.
How detailed, yeah.
Yeah.
So there were sets... So now we're going to kind of talk about, like, searches of... can't talk. of Nessie to kind of, like, you know... There were definitely different crews that went out there themselves.
Yeah.
So... the first one was the Edward Mountain Expedition in 1934, and it might not be the first expedition, but the first one we're going to talk about. 20 men with binoculars and cameras positioned themselves around the loch from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. for 5 weeks.
Jeez.
Beginning on the 13th of July in 1934. So, Nessie doesn't come out after 6 p.m., because that's what they did. They stayed there till 9 a.m. till 6 p.m.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't exist after that
point. Yeah, he doesn't
even
exist.
Even though there's been plenty of supposed sightings at night.
And it does sound like a reasonable search, but you're literally leaving, like, the whole nighttime.
Exactly.
But like, maybe they couldn't see.
I mean,
so
yeah.
So I guess that's probably it.
Still, like, somebody is eventually going to catch something if you're going to be that thorough with it.
Well, it took them they positioned themselves... there for what I say for 5 weeks. They took pictures and stuff like that, but they didn't come up with anything.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that, you know, like.
Sucks that trail cams weren't a thing back in the day. Yeah. They really could have got some coverage yeah. and ground at that point.
I wonder if anybody's done that now.
Probably,
yeah.
Probably.
And then the next search that happened was the Loch Ness Phenomena Investigation Bureau. People with these names, man. This was from 1962 to 1972. Their goal was to study the Loch Ness and to identify the creature known as the Loch Ness Monster, or to determine the causes of reports of it. So they're not even necessarily just looking for a monster. They're trying to figure out what else could possibly, like, trigger this. They had about 80% of the loch covered by cameras for a while, but in 1972 it was disbanded. I don't know if they found anything or...
They probably ran out of funding.
Yeah. Like, I don't...
Because that's a long time like, to not come up with anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like if they found some kind of evidence, they probably would have stayed there,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, they would have stayed there and it would have been out of the public a lot faster.
But maybe by, like, 1972, maybe Nessie wasn't around anymore. I mean, it's not a creature that's going to live forever.
I don't know. People still think it's alive now, so...
I mean, it could have had babies, but I don't think the original one would still be around.
I mean, tortoises, they can live like 100 plus years, so.
Yeah.
And whales, I know they can live for a long ass time, too.
Well, yeah, I guess so it's possible. There were a few other investigations throughout the years, but one that stood out to me was in 2018, so pretty recently. Mm. An international team consisting of researchers from the universities of Otago. I probably said that really wrong. It's O-T-A-G-O.
Otago.
Otago. I like Otango better.
There's no N.
Copenhagen, Hull, and the Highlands. And islands.
What?
It's basically all these colleges got together.
Oh.
And they did a DNA survey of the lake in June of 2018, looking for unusual species.
Yeah.
The results were published in 2019, and what they found was there were no DNA of large fish, such as like sharks, sturgeons, and catfish. So that rules out your catfish thing.
Okay. See, that's the thing. It like, if they hadn't proven that, it could have damn well been a catfish because they can obviously get that big if they're sitting there trying to test for it.
Yeah, if they're testing for it. Yep. No otter or seal DNA was obtained either.
Huh.
But there was a lot of eel DNA.
Oh, a big-ass moray eel.
A big-ass eel, maybe. Hmm. So the leader of the study, which is Professor Neil Jamil, sorry, dude, of the University of Otago. How you say it?
Otago.
He said that he could not rule out the possibilities of eels of extreme size, although none were found, nor were any caught. The other possibility is that the large amount of eel DNA simply comes from many small eels. So it could either be...
It could have been a whole school of eel.
Well, I was going to say, it could be a few large eels, or it could be a bunch of baby, like, small eels. So no evidence of any reptilian sequences were found either. So I think we can be fairly sure that there is probably not a giant scaly reptile swimming around the Loch Ness. So before we end this episode, I just wanted to mention that there is such a thing as a kelpie. Or Kelpie, I think. Which is basically a shape-shifting spirit that is supposed to haunt the lochs of Scotland. So is it possible that maybe the Loch Ness Monster's true origin is that of a Kelpie?
Could be. You never know.
This was just a quick little, you know. So with all this evidence that I put in front of you, what do you think? I feel like all of the people that were trying to research it were just... in it for the money or whatever.
Yeah, they were in it for the
purpose. Not like the newer...
Yeah, the newer ones they were actually trying.
But like the 1930s and even like the
80s. They were in it for the publicity. Like, if you really think about it, like, propaganda back in like the 30s and 40s and 50s, even the 60s up to the 70s was huge because of the wars and stuff like that were going on. And like, why not? Well,
there wasn't any war. There definitely probably was war back then. But this is Scotland, not, like, the U.S.
Well, yeah, but, propaganda in general.
It was just
popular around that time period is what I'm trying to say. So, even Hollywood. Like, when Hollywood stars, like, started getting, like, fully recognized and stuff like that, it was around the, you know, the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Because that's when Hollywood really blew up compared to its little, you know, silent films and stuff like that it was doing. You know, it was just blowing up, so propaganda was massive back then. Like, that was, like, the top-tier thing to do was just publicity, publicity, publicity. Like, when people started finding out that they can reach millions of people and have a bunch of people believe them, they were doing it.
Yeah, you know? Especially in the newspapers. The newspapers back then would just throw at almost anything in there. Like, even the Jack the Ripper cases, like, I know I go back to that a lot, but the Jack the Ripper cases, they would throw anything...
Yeah, exactly. Anything Jack the Ripper was actually a cat. Like,
yeah. Like, they would throw anything in the newspapers just to get a story.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all about getting people to buy the newspapers and getting the money. That's all it was, you know.
And then there were people that were sending in the stories trying to get money, too.
Exactly, They were trying to get some sort of cash out from it.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, like, as I was doing this research, I started losing faith in Nessie.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think she's real. I'm like... I want to believe, but maybe it's just a cute otter.
Well, how about we do this? How about we call a group of baby eels a Nessie cluster?
There you go.
So that way it still exists. It's just not, you know,
I mean, that's possible.
Being. Yeah.
Like, and that makes sense. Like, if people did see, like, you know, that would explain it not having any limbs and shit like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. And it looked like everyone always told me how it looked like a snake.
I'm going to look something up real quick, so I'm going to pause. Okay, so I looked up what I wanted to look up real quick. So the thing that I was, like, curious about, because there was that one account where they saw, like, this creature, like, slithering across the road. And I was wondering if eels could actually, like, survive out of water. And surprisingly, they can actually survive out of water for quite a long time. And it says they may crawl through grass to reach water. It says that eels can actually survive for several hours of breathing through their skin. So, like, it's possible that whatever that creature was actually, it's like...
just a big eel.
A huge eel.
Yeah.
And it also said that, it had some kind of, like, animal in its mouth.
Yeah.
Well, I looked up what eels actually eat, and they're primary predatory fish with carnivorous diets.
Carnivorous.
Carnivorous, it's the same thing.
Carnivorous.
Yeah, it sounds like a dinosaur. It sounds fancier.
It's the 7-foot eel carnivorous.
Yeah. Some eel species are cannibalistic, actually, so they eat like themselves, like each other.
Not themselves, but each other.
But their diet can typically consist of small fish, invertebrates, shrimp, crabs, and sea urchins. So it is like 100% possible that was an eel that crawled past them, and it had like a fish or something in its mouth.
You want to hear something else?
Sure.
So, size and weight.
Oh, you looked up how big they can get?
Oh, yeah. Eels vary in size depending on the species, ranging in length from just 2 inches in the one-jawed eel, the Monognathus alstromi, to 13 feet.
Yeah.
13 feet in the slender giant moray. They also range in weight from 1 ounce to over 55 pounds.
Okay.
And the European congers, which is a type of ale. Eel.
It's a type of beer.
It's a type of ale. The description and behavior. European congers have an average adult length of 1.5 meters, which is about 5 feet. A maximum known length of around 2.133 meters, which is 7 foot, possibly up to 3 meters, 9 foot and 10 inches for the largest specimens, and maximum weight of roughly 72 kilograms or 159 pounds, making them the largest eels in the world by weight.
So Nessie is an eel.
Probably, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
You want to see what the eel look like?
Sure.
You could probably put it on there if you want.
I'll look. And then save that picture so I can put it up there. Aww.
You're like, ew, aw.
That's adorable.
Here's that picture. Here's a better photo of it. It's cuter on that one. And honestly, that looks like the driftwood. So,
it does, kind of. Okay, so in my opinion, which is probably way off, because like all I know is what I researched, eels are freaking adorable, and Nessie is an eel.
There was a video that I came across not too long ago about a moray eel that like was really fond of this one diver, and she was able to treat it like a pet.
Aww.
Like it would curl up against her, it would lay its head on her chest, and she would pet it, and it would just lay there and just let it happen.
That's so cute. Whenever she
came back, it got really really excited and swam over to her really fast and just like hugged her pretty much.
Oh, that's so cute. See, yeah. I could definitely see Nessie being an eel because none of these, like, creature or these reports were ever attacked.
No.
No one was ever attacked. So, like, maybe it was an eel.
Yeah, I'll show you what a moray eel looks like.
I think they're so cute now.
Moray eels just look like giant turtles without a shell. That's kind of what they look like.
Sorry we're getting distracted, guys. But it was just kind of like an eye-opener now.
Yeah, that's what a little moray eel looks like. It looks like a giant turtle without a shell.
Yeah, save that one, too.
And that one is in the ocean because it's surrounded by a coral reef, but...
Yeah. But, so I feel like if Nessie is anything, it could definitely be an eel.
Yeah.
Alright.
Here's a bit of a scarier photo of a moray eel, if it'll clear up. Apparently moray eel have really sharp teeth, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, you can't really see it, but you can kind of get an idea.
That's obviously I'm not going to go cuddle it, but, you know.
Here's a smaller, so it's, like, better. That thing's creepy looking.
Yeah. But that one picture you showed me is cute.
Yeah,
but, So, I mean, there's still eyewitness reports and accounts that, like, people tell who didn't have cameras. So, yeah. I mean, it's possible that it is some kind of creature. Maybe one day we'll be able to get some kind of evidence that actually explains what's going on at Loch Ness. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's an eel now. Yeah. Like, no,
With all the eel DNA that's in the lake.
Yeah, like, because there's no otters, no seals.
No.
There's no sharks, there's no catfish.
Yeah, the only thing it could be is an eel at this point.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe it is an eel. But yeah, so that's pretty much this episode. Have you as been to Loch Ness and seen Nessie or just been to Loch Ness in general? Let me know in the comments section of this video on YouTube, or you can send us an email at thehauntedcafe@gmail.com and just tell us your story. Maybe we'll do an episode of just like talking about the Loch Ness and what people have experienced.
We could. If we have enough people that answer, we'll do it.
Yeah.
So we have a decent sized episode to do.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'll just be like a fun, you know, fun thing.
Like even if you guys have heard like legends about Loch Ness or like where like mythology where it could have originated from and stuff like that.
Like if you have any information that I might have missed, because honestly,
anything we didn't cover pretty much. Yeah,
I don't want this to be like, this is pretty much an hour long episode. I don't want it to go like crazy long.
I'm pretty sure we could spend all day talking about Loch Ness if we really, really wanted. Yeah. Loch Ness Monster, my bad.
It's the same, yeah. But, yeah, I think it's really interesting, and now I feel like it is an eel.
Or a group of eels.
Like, I don't know.
Did you brought my faith back a little bit?
Okay, yeah. Right.
I didn't know they can get up to freaking 13 feet. That's huge, man. And that's
one said it was like 25 feet, but maybe, like...
I mean, it could have been that big. Who knows?
There's also, like... pollution and stuff like that nowadays. So like maybe nowadays, it's making them smaller.
Could be, yeah.
And like also
everything was way bigger back in the day. Like maybe not that Columba? Far back in the day, but
maybe St. Columba was actually fighting an eel.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I have a feeling he was like fishing one day.
I feel like he was just faking it.
I feel like he was just fishing one day and he caught an eel and he had a really hard time trying to wrangle it. So then he decided to create a story about how it was attacking somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody would believe him because there's no evidence he caught it because it got away.
Yeah, it got away. It's like, oh, there's this massive freaking eel. Or, I mean, creature.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it for this episode. I actually really like this episode.
Can you imagine this, like this dude on his little dinghy in the middle of the river struggling to, like, grasp an eel that's just squirming hard as shit. And he's like, go back to hell, Satan!
What if that's the first time anybody has ever seen an eel?
Maybe.
St. Columba?
Yeah,
maybe. That was his first time. So they're like, especially with, like, the creepy-ass teeth and stuff like that, they're like, okay, maybe this thing's, like, a demon spawn.
Yeah. And like I said, he caught it, but, like, he couldn't, like, bring it in because he had never seen it before. Yeah. And he threw it back in the water. But only after he was able to get his hook off of it,
it was like, man, this thing's go a
back
creepy.
To hell, Satan.
Yeah,
like, threw just it struggling in. On the boat. It's a demon. It's a demon.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like we know the truth now.
Yeah,
as an eel, I answered the question. I figured out Nessie. Me and you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So yeah, that's it for this episode, guys.
Myth busted.
Yeah. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Hopefully, you know, hopefully maybe you think it's an eel now too.
Yeah.
If not, you know, let us know what you think it is. Let us know anything. Like, talk to us. We're lonely.
Wow. Way to be desperate. Yeah. We need conversation.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you in the next one.
Yep. Don't forget to not make us cry and send us some comments. See you next time.